Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with God's people. God's people are a singing people and a praying people, and God's people are a storytelling people. I'm happy to say that it was about 35 years ago that I left my machining tools on the shoreline back in Winnipeg to follow Jesus. 35 years ago, wow. Never been without work, never been without a place to stay. And then about 10 years ago, those tools were replaced with the tools of storytelling. And then about 3 years ago, I left something else on the shoreline, and that were a lot of my books about the Bible. And I began to discover myself what the Bible was all about. So I left those books at the shoreline too. That was about 3 years ago. What I love about biblical stories is that they're strong. When I was in Cuba, the Mennonites in Santiago, they were proud of their coffee because it was stronger than the coffee in Havana. Who knows how to speak Spanish here? Anybody? Oh, too bad, because I don't either. But they used to have a saying, our coffee is small but strong. And we are a small people, but we are a strong people. And that's what I like about biblical stories. They're small, and they are strong. So I invite you to listen now to this cluster of stories that take place just before Jesus mounts on his journey to the city of Jerusalem, where he's going to face his ordeal among the powers of Jerusalem. This is a cluster of stories that help us prepare for Lent and the ordeal that Jesus is about to undergo. I want to invite you to, as you listen to these stories, to think about how the theme of greatness and weakness play back and forth. And we will sing Great is the Lord twice. So have your finger in number 87. We'll sing that twice, and I'll cue you into that without the piano, because this story takes place in a wilderness, and I don't think they had pianos. Everything was stripped down, so we will get to that. Picture for a minute three scenes before we proclaim. Imagine 12 men crammed into a small one-room house in Capernaum. And then imagine a small village. You're in a small village in Palestine, first century, and around the corner, around the bend, come 12 men in bare feet. No stick, no extra clothing, no money, no provisions, no bag. And they're coming and they're proclaiming that Yahweh is becoming king right under their noses. I wonder what the people thought of a scene like that. And now one more picture. Imagine just around the Sea of Galilee, from Capernaum, is the city of Tiberias, the royal city of Tiberias. And in that city, there is a large palace. And there is a king, the king of the Jews, looking out over the landscape of Galilee. And he has his advisors around him. And he's squinting. Those three pictures. Now listen to the proclamation of the good news, according to Luke's gospel. So Jesus gathered together the 12. And he gave them power and authority over all kinds of demons, and to heal the sick, and to proclaim that Yahweh, the God of Israel, was indeed becoming king. Take nothing. I mean, take nothing with you. No stick to protect yourself. No stick, no extra clothing, no wallet, no money, no bag, no bread, no provisions. Take nothing. When you enter into a village, stay in the place where you're welcome. But if you go into a city and they don't welcome you there, leave that city and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so the 12 barefooted men departed. And they went throughout all the hills and valleys of Galilee and through in and out the villages, proclaiming that Yahweh was becoming king, finally. And wherever they went, people were healed. It was marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. However, the real king, when he heard about this kingdom movement, when he heard about this, he was a little bit perplexed because some people were saying to him, Herod, this is John the Baptist raised from the dead. Other people were saying, no. This is an appearance of the prophet Elijah, the troublemaker of Israel. Others said, no, Herod, this is a prophet of old, an ancient prophet raised up from the dead. Listen, I cut John's head off. Who is this man? And he kept on trying to see this man, Jesus. Well, the disciples came back from their journeys of Galilee after proclaiming that Yahweh was becoming king. And Jesus gathered them around and they shared with Jesus all the amazing things that happened in the hills and valleys of Galilee. And then Jesus decided to retreat. And he went to a city just north of, just around the corner of the Sea of Galilee to Bethsaida. And when the crowds, the multitudes, the throngs of people heard about it, they followed him. And he turned and he welcomed them with open arms. And he taught them. He taught the throngs of people about the kingdom of God. That Yahweh, the God of Israel, was indeed becoming king right under their noses. Yes, he taught the people. And then he healed all those who needed healing. Now picture this for a minute. You have throngs of people who have gathered from all over Galilee to Capernaum and now to Bethsaida. And now Jesus takes them on a trek into the badlands, you could say, the wastelands of Yisrael, up the Jordan Valley to Mount Hermon, the snow-capped mountain, deep into the wild. Throngs of people. Now I invite you to take your family with you and join these men and women and their children as they follow this man deep, deep into Israel's barren lands. Now listen to this proclamation. The sun was fading. It was going down. The sun was setting. And that's when the 12 came to him and said, Master, send these people out of here. Like, this is a desolate place. I don't know, send them to a village. Send them somewhere because they need lodging and food. Just send them out. And Jesus said to them, what did he say to them? You feed them. You feed them. You feed them. Yeah, we've got 5 loaves here and we got 2 fish. Are you really expecting us to buy food for this sea of people? Like, there were about 5,000 men there, and that doesn't include their families. So Jesus said to the 12, okay, go out among Israel and have them all sit down in companies of 50. Just tell them all to sit down. So the disciples went out among Israel, and he told all of Israel to sit down in companies of 50 in the desert. And then Jesus took, as you know, he took the bread and the fish. And then he looked up to heaven. That's what he did. You see, he didn't go out and buy anything. He looked up to heaven, and then he blessed the bread, and he broke it. And he started to give it to the disciples. And the disciples went among Israel in the wilderness, feeding the people in the wilderness. Yes, they fed Israel. And everybody was satisfied. And when the disciples went and picked up all the pieces, how many baskets were left? How many? She's a keener. There's something interesting. 12 baskets and 12 men in bare feet. You make the connection. They came back with 12 baskets full. Great is the Lord. He is holy and just. By his power he blessed in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true, by his mercy he proves his love. Great is the Lord and worthy of all me. Great is the Lord and worthy of me. And sing it out. And sing it out. And so as everybody was wrapping themselves in their cloaks for the night, the temperature dropped slightly. Jesus brought the 12 off to the side. And he was the only one praying among the disciples. And then he turned to the disciples once while he was praying. After he prayed, he turned to the disciples and he said, "Tell me, who did the people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're an ancient prophet of old. Well, what about you? Who do you think I am?" Oh, Peter. Peter said, "You are the Christ. You, yeah. You are the warrior Christ." And Jesus said, "I warn you, do not say that to anyone. And listen to me. Let these words sink deeply into your ears. The Son must suffer. Listen to this. The Son must be rejected by the elders and even the chief priests, including the scribes and the scholars. He must be put to death and then rise again. Listen. If you want to come after me, you must take up your cross and follow. If you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my name's sake, then you shall find it." And whoever is ashamed of me, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when the Son comes in glory, in his glory, in the glory of the Father, in the glory of the mighty messengers of heaven. And I'll tell you something too, that there are some people here today who will not taste death until they see it. The kingdom coming. They will see it with their own eyes. Yahweh becoming king. And then it was, and then something happened. It was about 8 days after this that he took the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he took them up high into the mountain to pray. And then something happened while he was praying. While Jesus was praying, somehow his face changed. And then his clothing, or perhaps you could say that his raiment somehow, his robes became like the whiteness of lightning. Like the dazzling snow-white robes of the Ancient of Days. Indeed, indeed, who is this man? And just then two men appeared in deep conversation with Jesus. It was Moses and Elijah, radiating in their glory. And they were talking together about his departure. They were talking together about his exodus, that he was about to bring into its fullness there in the city of Jerusalem. And where was Peter? And where were his two companions? Oh. Peter and his two companions. They're so heavy. They're heavy with sleep. They can barely keep their eyes open. But they did manage to see his glory. And the two men that were standing next to him, they managed to see it. And then when Moses and Elijah were departing, it was then that Peter got up and he came to the master and he said, "Oh, this is such a great place to be. I got an idea. Let's build a tent. Three of them. One for you, one for Elijah, and Moses. One for Moses too." He didn't have a clue what he was saying. And as the words kept falling out of his mouth, oh yes, then the tent of Yahweh himself stretched out over them like a great cloud. And when they entered into this cloud, they were terrified. And then a voice came out of the cloud and it said, this is what it said. It said, "People, listen. This is my only son. This is the one that I love. This is my chosen one. Listen to him." That's what the voice said. And when the voice had finally finished speaking, there was Jesus all alone. And the disciples had been reduced to silence. They said nothing about this to anybody during those days. They did not breathe a word about what they had seen. Then they came down the mountain. Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Yes, they were coming down the mountain. And the throngs of people, the day had broke, new day had come, the sun had come, and the throngs of people who are at the bottom of the mountain started coming up and meeting Jesus. And as they were meeting Jesus, suddenly a voice comes out of the crowd. It is a father. And he says, he's begging. He's saying, "I beg you, Jesus, I beg you." He was like, "I beg you, please just look at my boy. This is my only son. This is my chosen one. My only son." This violent spirit just takes him and he screams out and he convulses him on the floor and there's foaming at the mouth. And just look at his bruises. "I beg you, I asked your disciples. I begged them. I begged them, but they could do nothing. They were powerless. They had no authority or power. I beg you, just look at my boy and look at his bruises." And Jesus said, "Oh, my God. This is a pale and powerless generation. This is a generation that is faithless. It is a generation that is like a stray gone astray. Bring the boy. Bring him to me. Bring your boy here to me." And as the boy was coming to Jesus, the spirit came, this violent spirit just slammed him on the ground and was just contorting him. And Jesus came and he gave that demon a sharp rebuke. And then he cured the boy of all of his bruises. And then he gave him back to his father. And when Jesus gave the boy back to his own father, the crowds were astonished at the greatness of God. Great are you, Lord, you are holy and just. By your power you blessed in your love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves his love. Lift up your voices. Worthy of glory, great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice.
Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord.
And as the people were marveling at all the things that Jesus did, he came to the 12 and he dropped these words. He said to them, listen to me. Let these words sink into your ears. The sun is going to land up in the grip of human hands. Listen to me, please. You know, they didn't understand a word he was saying. It was as though he was speaking another language. There was some kind of a veil over his words. And they were embarrassed and afraid to ask him about it, about these particular words. Listen, I tell you, the Son of Man is going to land up in the grip of human hands. Instead of asking Jesus about these words, you know what the 12 did? I tell you, right at that moment, something happened. Something entered into their hearts. You could say they were possessed by something. An argument about which of them was going to become the most famous. That was the argument. And so when Jesus got a sense of what was going on in their hearts, he called the child. And he had the child stand next to him. And he said to the 12, it was the same child that he had just healed. And he said, whoever receives this particular child receives me. And whoever receives me receives the glorious one that sent me. Whoever is the least among you, the tiniest, whoever here is the most vulnerable, that one, he said, is the great one. Again, it was as though Jesus was speaking another language, because right then John came and he said, when we were in our Galilee tour, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name, and he wasn't part of us. He wasn't part of the executive team. He wasn't part of the 12. So I put my foot down, put a stop to it. And Jesus turned to John and says, John, it's okay. John, if they're not against you, they're for you. And then as the time started to gather together for him to go to Jerusalem, as the time gathered together for him to become king in Jerusalem, he set his face changed again, and he set his face like flint to the city of Jerusalem. I wonder what that journey was like. He gathered the 12 together, if you remember, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal people of all sorts of sicknesses and to proclaim that Yahweh indeed was becoming the king in the most unusual ways. Great is the Lord, he is holy and just. Power.